Amen.
How is everybody? All right. Everybody, thank you everybody for coming on this nice Fine Friday. Lucky you can't leave because pastors aren't here. See? He was trying to. So, if you got your Bibles, let's start there. It's always good to start in the Word. So, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And this is a verse we should all be very familiar with. Should be. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And I bet I could call on the kids from next door and they could come over here and sing this for us, but I'm not going to try and sing it because, you know, that would not be good. So, but who said thank you? Thanks, Pam. Thank you. So it says, and starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Okay? So I'm not going to talk tonight about all the gifts of the Spirit. All right? We don't have that much time. I get way too long-winded. I'm just going to pick out one. And I'm going to pick out one that I've been working on in myself and has been very, very trying sometimes. Which one, Penny?
Love.
No, actually, it's not. It's not. It is not love. It is not love. That's what you need. Nope. I'm going to talk about the very last one, self-control. So, and this is one of those things I got when I got a book by another preacher on self-control, and I read it, and it was very good, and it kind of got me on this journey into studying this out in the Bible and studying out what the Bible says about self-control. And I was kind of shocked about how much the Bible actually talks about it, because you know, a lot of people say, "Where does the Bible talk about self-control?" Well, in that verse we just read, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the things that we're supposed to bear. We don't really know what that means, but we're supposed to have it, right? And so the Bible talks about it all throughout the Bible. It gives us examples of self-control, and it gives us examples of people who did not practice self-control. Self-control, just so that we have a definition to work with, is defined as the ability to regulate one's emotions, thoughts, and actions in the face of temptations and impulses. Now, hang on. Let me read that. The ability to regulate one's emotions, thoughts, and actions in the face of temptations and impulses. All right? Now, when you put a definition to it, it makes it a little bit different, doesn't it? It's like, ooh, wait. Oh, hang on. Yeah. So it's how we discipline our body. It's how we control our flesh. It's what God commands us to do. It's one of the things that God tells us to develop in our lives is self-control. Now, one of the things that I have noticed in my life and other people's lives, but I'll just talk about me, all right? I won't talk about anybody out here, but it's this thing, okay, look, God, you need me to control this area of my life, okay? This area right here, okay? This thing that's hindering my flesh, or it's hindering my love walk, or it's hindering all of this, and God's telling me to discipline my body. He's telling me to discipline my flesh. Let's use a real simple example. How many of you guys like to go to El Chapala or Papas and Beer, the Mexican restaurants, right? Okay, we love it. If you know, Aaron and I, if we're going out to eat, 9 times out of 10, we're going to Mexican food, right? What do they do as soon as you sit down? They put that basket of chips right down in front of you, okay? You want to know how much self-control you have? Watch that basket of chips. I promise you. I met Aaron at El Que Pasa a couple weeks ago, and it kind of shocked me because I beat her there, and she was running behind, and I'm ashamed to admit this, I ate almost 2 baskets of chips. Yes. It was after work, I was hungry, and I'm sitting there just mindlessly eating because I'm on my phone, I'm waiting on her, you know, nobody there to talk to, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, okay, let's eat chips, eat the bean dip because the bean dip is good, and I'm sitting there, I went through 2 baskets of chips, almost 2 baskets of chips, and so I'm like, wow, I have no self-control. When it comes to those chips, there is no self-control right there. And so God says, Andrew, you need to watch what you eat. You need, and I'm just using this as an example. You need to pay attention to how many chips you eat. All right? Now, what do we do? Okay, God, take away this desire for those chips. God, I don't want to desire those chips. God, take that away. God didn't tell us he was going to take away the desire. He told us to discipline ourselves. He told us to control our flesh, not him do it for us. And that's hard, especially with those chips. I don't know what it is. I think they put crack in them. I think that's what it is. So another famous verse on self-control, although it doesn't actually mention the word, but this is exactly what he's talking about, is 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. All right? Now, this right here is Paul's famous, I run my race. All right? He says, don't you know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, and they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we run for an imperishable one. Therefore, I run like this, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, here Paul's talking. Paul's, you know, comparing us to an athlete. All right, now I'm not an athlete. Never have been, have no delusions of being an athlete. I get reminded of that every time somebody tries to get me to play basketball. Doesn't work, all right? But I can understand what he's talking about here, because to be an athlete, you have to discipline your body. You have to do things that aren't always fun to get to the end result, right? You've got to go exercise. You've got to practice. They say Michael Jordan, I forget how many thousands of free throws he shot, just repetitively. Just one after the other, after the other. I don't enjoy throwing a ball at a hoop that much. But he disciplined his body to be able to do that, so that he could become that great of an athlete. All right? Now here Paul says that we have to bring our body into subjection. Anybody want to know what subjection means? Should never give me a dictionary. All right. Subjection means to bring under dominion, rule, authority, control, or influence. We have to bring our body under control. It's the same idea as when a country invades another country and conquers it and puts it under their thumb. They bring it under subjection. They make them subjects. They make them lesser. And here we have to, the Bible is telling us to do that to our bodies. And not just our physical bodies, but if you remember, the self-control also applies to our emotions. So it's everything about us that we have to exhibit that control over our lives. Now, this is something, again, I got one more verse, and I'm going to get into something else. But in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, and this is out of the New Living Translation, it says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Yeah. Okay? Now that right there, that should be enough motivation for us, because what good is a city without walls? Yeah. You know? It's kind of hard for us to imagine. I mean, Asheville really doesn't have a wall around it, although it should. It should. We should. There should be a lottery to be able to move here, but that's just my opinion. But you know, in these days, that was the way that you protected your home. That was the way that you protected your town, was you built a giant wall. What made Jericho so formidable? The wall. It wasn't the people inside. It was the wall. And so here, if you don't have self-control, you don't have a wall around you. Well, what does that wall do? Well, that wall protects us. It keeps the enemy outside. You know, it's funny. You know, Satan can't tempt me to stop eating peas. Okay? I don't like them. He can't stop me to stop doing that. Now, he can tempt me to eat brownies. He can tempt me to eat cookies. He can tempt me to eat two baskets of chips. Okay? And let that in. But if I don't control my flesh, if I can control my flesh, then that stops here. It stops on the outside. It stops before it ever gets into that point. It's the same thing with our emotions. If we can control our emotions instead of our emotions controlling us. How many people do we know that are controlled by their emotions? Don't raise your hand or point at your neighbor. Okay? But how often do we let our desires control us instead of us controlling them? And there's nothing wrong with eating chips. I believe that God made those chips, and I believe he made them good. All right? But at the same time, God doesn't want me to eat two baskets of chips at one time. That's not good for me. Right? Paul said all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. All right? Just because I can't eat two baskets of chips doesn't mean I should. I mean, we live in a society now where self-control has gone out the window. All right? And it's something that nobody likes to talk about. I mean, really, you think about it, and I'm just going to use this as an example. I am not picking on anybody. But you talk about losing weight, okay? All right? Anybody ever in here been on a diet? Right? Okay? Anybody ever here been on one of those fad diets where they're like, okay, if you do this, you'll lose 50 pounds overnight. Okay? You drink vinegar and apple juice, and, you know, and that's all you drink for 2 days straight, and you go on this cleanse, and you lose all, you know, we all want it simple. We don't want to do what we have to do to actually lose the weight. You know, because losing weight takes a little bit of work. Okay? Takes a little bit, because we have to watch what we eat, and then we have to do that horrible thing called move and exercise. You know, we have to do that. We don't like doing that. We want the simple thing. Well, we don't want somebody to tell us that we should have to discipline our bodies. We don't want somebody to tell us that we have to limit ourselves. You know, it's one of those things where the society as a whole has removed all of its limits. You know, and the Bible talks about that. It says in Timothy that in the last days, one of the things that they will do is they will lack self-control. Amen. They will take the bounds off of themselves. You look at it in our society today. You can eat what you want, drink what you want, sleep with what you want, dress like what you want, pierce and tattoo like what you want. You can do all of this stuff because it doesn't matter, because you do whatever feels good to you. Whatever feels good to you. And we like to feel good. Does anybody in here like to feel bad? No? No, I don't like to feel bad. I don't know anybody that likes to feel bad. We want to feel good. And we don't want to feel like we're limiting ourselves. Right? We're Americans. It's the American dream, right? We can do whatever we want. Right? And that's good to an extent. But we have to guard our lives with the Word of God. We have to bring it home and say, okay, look, I have to limit myself based off what God tells me. God doesn't tell me to go out and drink 2 liters of Coke at one time. All right? He tells me that I've got to limit myself here. I've got to limit myself. I've got to guard myself. So why is that so hard? Why is it that we never talk about that? Why is it that we never, ever, ever approach that? Well, because most of us think we do an okay job. Right. I mean, really. If you ask most people, are you self-disciplined? I'm okay in a lot of areas, but in a couple of areas, I'm not. Okay? I'm okay here, but I don't want to talk about this area over here. I don't want to talk about the two baskets of chips. Let's talk about me getting up on time. Okay? Or me getting to work on time. I can get to work on time real easy, but let's not talk about those two baskets of chips. Because we want to focus on what's easy for us. We want to focus on what's simple, as opposed to growing and maturing in God. As opposed to getting up and actually doing something. I got ahead of myself. So talking about examples of self-control. And one of these really stood out. When I got to studying this, one of these really stood out. You guys know Daniel, right? And Shadrach and Abednego, right? You guys remember the first chapter of Daniel? They get hauled off to Babylon. They get captured and they get taken in, and we all know this story. They come up to the guy that's over them. They say, "Hey, we don't want to eat your food. We're just going to eat vegetables and water. All right, that's all we're going to do. We're just going to eat vegetables and water. And then at the end of the time, you check us out, see if we're not good looking, see if we're not smart. Okay, that's the story in a nutshell. All right, now we all read that and we're like, oh yes, that was good. They stood up for what they believed in. They wouldn't eat that food sacrificed to idols. That's good, and that's true." They wouldn't eat the king's food because the king's food had been sacrificed to idols. But let's back up and actually, let's bring this home to us, okay? Let's think about this for an example, okay? Here you are a young person, all right, because they were young. They sought out the youngest and the brightest and all that to bring in and train up. And so you get brought in, and what you're brought out of, did you know that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were princes in the house of Israel? They were royalty. Okay, now I don't know much about royalty because, you know, we don't have kings and queens and all this stuff. You know, I we don't live in England anymore. But the thing about kings and queens, historically, they eat well whether everybody else does or not. Okay, that means if you want steak at 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody's going to bring you a steak. if you want the brownies at 4, they're going to bring you the brownies. If you want all that, you can have whatever you want. You get the best of the best. You're not eating the slop. You're not eating bologna sandwiches. Okay? You're not eating Spam. You're not eating treat meat. You're eating the best. And that's what these guys grew up on. They grew up on all of this best food. And then all of a sudden they get brought into this situation where God says, okay, look, I need you four to stand out. I need you to set an example, and I need you to stand up, and I need you to do something for me. But to do it, it's going to cost you something. To do it, you're going to have to get uncomfortable for a little bit. You're going to have to change the way that you think. And so what did they do? They said, okay, look, guys, this is what we got to do. We got to not eat the king's food. All right? We've got to not eat the best of the best, like what we've been used to. We've got to come over here, and we've got to eat just vegetables. We're going to live off of broccoli. All right? And cauliflower and kale. Okay? That's all you're going to eat is kale and cauliflower and broccoli. That's it. And you're going to drink water. You can't have any tea. You can't have any coffee. You can't have any Coke. You can't have anything that tastes good. You're going to drink water and eat kale and broccoli. And that's all you're going to do. And these guys are like, okay, we can do that. Now, you read that, and I don't really think about it until God started pointing it out to me. And he, you know, I'm like, did God give him a special anointing to eat kale? Right? Did God come down and said, he's going to have the prophet come over and lay hands on Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, okay, God's giving you this anointing to eat kale. He's giving you this anointing to live off just vegetables. He's giving you this anointing where you're not going to miss the meat and the sweets, and you're not going to miss all of that stuff. No, I don't think that God did that, actually. I don't think he sent anybody to him. He just asked them to do it. He just said, will you guys take a stand for me? And to do that, they had to discipline themselves. They had to take something that they were accustomed to and remove it from their lives. And I don't think it was easy. You think about it, you know, we read it, it's like, okay, they just didn't eat with everybody else. You read over and that's the way. You don't think about how hard that was. Let me ask you a question. If I told you that for the next 6 months you could only live off of kale and broccoli and cauliflower and water, no coffee, no sweets, no meat, nothing that tastes good, we're just going to boil up some broccoli and cauliflower and sprinkle some kale on top. All right? There's not enough seasoning in the world to make me live off of that for 6 months. I'm sorry. And so, that's what they did. And God honored that. The Bible says that when they came back after that period of time, they stood these young men up and they compared them to everybody else. Everybody else that had eaten the best. Everybody else that had partaken of the best food and the best that Babylon had to offer. And they stood them up, and these kids were more beautiful. They were better looking, and they were 10 times smarter than everybody else. Now, did that have anything to do with the vegetables? No. Kale will not make you smarter, okay? It will not, all right? I don't care what they say. It can't. It cannot possibly do that. But it was their self-control. It was their perseverance towards God. It was that, okay, look, I'm going to do something even if it hurts me, even if it takes something out of my life. I'm going to do something that honors my Father, that honors my Lord, that honors that, and I'm going to bring that into the natural. I'm not going to just do it in the spiritual. I'm not just going to come in here and raise my hands. I'm going to do something that requires me to sacrifice. It's that self-control that caused them to be blessed. It is that diligence, it's that self-discipline. Later on, you read about Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made it his practice to pray so many times a day. Every day. He made it his practice, his habit. He purposed it. Now, do you think that was easy every single day? No. I guarantee you it's not. I don't want to get up this morning and pray. I don't want to stay up late and pray. I don't want to stop what I'm doing and pray. I don't want to take a break. I'm busy. I got to get this finished. I don't want to stop and honor God. But no, he purposed in his life to separate out those times to pray. And he was so disciplined about it that his enemies tried to use it against him. They tried to come back against him and say, look, we're going to use this to kill him. And what happened? Well, he got thrown. He slept with some lions one night. Wow. Walks out the next day, praising God. Could God have done that if Daniel hadn't been disciplined? If Daniel hadn't practiced self-control? Would that have worked? Probably not like it did. Because Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart that he was not going to let his flesh control him. He was going to control his flesh. He was going to make it do what he knew was right. What he knew what the word said to do. He was going to make it do that. All right? So Daniel, prime example of how to practice self-control. What about one who didn't? What about Moses? I was thinking about Moses. Because part of this, part of studying this, the part that I've been working on is controlling my emotions, is not letting them control me, you know, is that. And I got to think about, well, who in their Bible struggled with their emotions? And I got to think about Moses. Moses. Well, Moses led the children out of Egypt. Yes, he did. He stood before Pharaoh. Yes, he did. He called down 10 plagues. Yes, he did. He hit a rock and water came out. He did this and did this and did this and all these miracles and all of these things. But you know what? One thing Moses struggled with was controlling his temper. It was controlling that little thing on the inside of him that said, ugh. You know, said he was gonna, it was the Hulk. It's like he wanted to just come out. And so what happened one day? He's leading the children of Israel through the desert like he's supposed to. He's following God like he's supposed to. He's trying to get the children of Israel to come with him. He's trying to get a bunch of these griping and complaining church people to come with him. Okay? Now I'm not gonna call them church people. Let's rephrase this. Let's call them children. Have I ever been around children? You're trying to get your kids to do something, you're trying to get somebody else's kids to do something, they just won't do it. You're like, come on, this isn't that hard. You know, you're trying to get them through, and you're just like, why won't you just do it? Why can't you just do this one simple thing? Okay, that's Moses. We've all been there. We have all been there. We've all done that. Where we get to that point, and our anger's rising up on the inside of us, and that frustration is boiling over. And what did Moses do? Well, God told him, said, okay, look, they want some water. Go up here to this rock and hold your staff out over this rock. That's all I need you to do. Just hold up a stick. All right? And I can just imagine what was going on. Moses is like, okay, guys, we got to get to this rock. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Are we there yet? I need a drink of water. All right? Keeps going. I'm thirsty. And he's got millions of people back there doing that. Are we there yet? Are we there? I'm thirsty. God's going to kill us. That's why he brought us out here. God's not a good God. He brought us out here to kill us. He's going to let us die of the dehydration. No. So, and he's up here and he's like, no. Come on, we're going to get there. And by the time he climbs up that hill to that rock, he's had enough. Say you're thirsty one more time. Ask for a drink of water. I'll give you a drink of water. All right? I'll give you something to be thirsty about. No. All right? And so I can just imagine that that's what's running through Moses' head. And so what does he do? He gets up there, and all God said to do was hold this stick out. What did Moses do? Well, he got up there, and he says, you want a drink of water? I'll show you a drink of water. And he just wailed on that rock. And what happened? He lost his reward. He lost his reward because he lost his temper. Because he could not control his emotions. Now, did he have every right to be mad? Yes, he did. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say he didn't have a right to be mad or frustrated. I really don't. All right? Anybody that's ever been there, that's ever dealt with people, that's ever dealt with the public, that's ever dealt with kids, that's ever dealt with anybody, understands what Moses was going through. All right? Everybody has been there. I've been there, you've been there, we've all been there. Where we have to make a difference is we can't let that temper, we can't let that rage, we can't let that control us. How many people do you see that let that control them? Just driving down the road. I'm not going to ask how many people have given into it driving down the road. I'm not going to say that. You know, not going to ask that question. Laid on the horn or yelled or screamed or, you know. I'm just saying. I was coming into church tonight, and it was funny because I'm sitting there, and there was this horrible wreck on 40. Traffic was backed up. I'm like, I didn't know if I was going to, you know, I'm like, I know I'm going to be late. I'll be here by 7, but I didn't think I'd be here by the time practice started. And I'm here, I'm sitting in traffic, and it stopped traffic on 40. And there's this lady in front of me in this SUV, and she is just cussing up a storm. and she's got her hand out the window making sign language at the guy in front of them. And her passenger's hanging out the other window making sign language at the guy in front of them. And the guy in front of them is just like, oh, I don't know what he did. Other than the fact that he wasn't going, she kept saying, go, go, go. I'm like, he can't go. There's 500 cars in front of him. Why are you mad? There is no reason for it. Except for the fact that we can't control our emotions. We cannot stifle that. We cannot bring that into subjection. We cannot make that line up with the Word of God. That's where we get in trouble. That's where we suffer. That's where we lose out on what God has for us. It's because we can't line that up. All right? You know, I was thinking about areas that we are good in self-control. Okay? Now, most of us, okay, how many of us work? We all, you know, most of us work. We go to work. How long do you work? 8, 9, 10 hours a day, right? When you're there, you work. You come home, you come home. Kids, they go to school, right? How many of us like to go to the movies? Yeah, watch TV? Yeah, okay, all right. We can sit through a movie, right? Hour and a half, 2 hours long. I went and saw the new Avengers movie. That was 3 hours long. Sat through the whole thing. All right, 3 hours. Sat through the whole thing. I had to go to the bathroom so bad, I thought I was going to hurt myself by the time we got done. All right? But sat there. All right, the whole time. We have such immense self-control when it's something that we want to do. We can sit through a three-hour movie. I've seen some people sit through a four-hour movie. I've seen some people, they can sit and they can read a novel from cover to cover and never move. I know some people, they go to work and they just work all day and they never blink an eye, never complain about it, never do anything. It's because they enjoy it. All right? Or you go, some people who like to work out, they can go work out for hours on end because they enjoy it. All right? What about church? Can we sit through a 30-minute, 45-minute sermon in church without getting up and going to the bathroom? Can we come in and pray on Tuesday nights for 30 minutes without getting distracted? Without losing control of our mind? You know, Jesus' disciples dealt with that. You know, Jesus said, hey, can you pray with me for a little bit? And they went to sleep. They went to sleep. Here, it's Jesus Christ himself standing right there. Will you pray with me? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, yeah, no, I mean, essentially that's what they did. And so, but yet, we come in to the house of God. We come in to worship him. We come in to learn about him. We come in to this area and we can't sit still. We have to be on our phones. We have to be writing something down. We have to be doodling. We have to be doing something. Or we get up and we walk around in the back. Or we get up, we don't even walk around the back. We just go outside. I'm just saying. It's self-control. It's disciplining our flesh. I'm sorry, but that is one thing that has always baffled me. How can we sit through a TV show? How can we sit through a movie, but we can't sit and listen to the Word of God? It's because we have no discipline in an area that our flesh doesn't like. All right? It's an area that our flesh doesn't like. And yet, here, God's telling us to exhibit that. He's telling us to develop that. So what do we have to do? That means we have to sit here. That means we come. And it's funny. It's you know, Satan, you don't want me sitting here? Okay, fine. I'll come here 4 times a week and we'll sit. We'll sit through the whole thing. I'll leave my phone in the car if I have to. I'll do whatever I have to do to discipline myself. To discipline myself. All right? We can watch. How many, I'm just going to ask this question. Don't raise your hand and don't point at your neighbor. How many people in here know what the term binge watching means? Okay. Okay. Now, how many people have done it? So for those of you who don't know, binge watching is coming to it's a thing that's come in since everybody streams television with like Netflix and Hulu and all this stuff. And they put the entire season of a show, okay, which is anywhere from like, what, 8 to 15 episodes. 30 minutes to an hour apiece, 8 to 15 episodes. And to binge watch means you're going to sit down and you're just going to watch them all. You're going to sit down and you're just going to go through them. All right? Now, if you're under the age of 40, you have done it. Okay, don't lie. Don't tell me you haven't done it. Don't sit there and act like you've never done it. You've done it. okay? If you're over the age of 40, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. But if you're below that, I don't believe that you have never done it, okay? You have never sat down. And it doesn't have to be a bad show. But we just sit down, and we just turn it on. And we turn it on, and we're like, okay, let's watch another one. Let's watch another one. Let's watch another one. And what's funny is Netflix, if you have Netflix, you know what I'm talking about. After you've watched about three episodes, it pops up with this little question. Are you still there? Are you still watching? And all it is it just wants to know, did you just turn this on for noise in the house? Or are you sitting there watching this show for 5 hours? Okay? And it pops up. And what do? Yep, I'm still watching. And we hit the button. And then we go another 5 hours. Okay? And don't act like you've never done it. I know. But this is the thing. You get through a whole season in like 2 days. That's crazy. That is crazy. Huh? Yeah, I mean, really, you used to have to wait, didn't you? I mean, when I grew up, I didn't even have cable. So it was whatever came in over the antenna. You know, you had to hold the rabbit ears in the right way. So, you know, you had to wait. You had to wait. And so, and if you missed it, you were just, that was it. You might catch it on a rerun, you might not. But you had to control yourself. You couldn't binge watch. You couldn't just do that. Now you can. Our society, our technology has made it so easy for us to get so lost and for us to lose our control. All right? You take your phone for an example. All right? Now we've all got smartphones. Actually, mine's down there. I don't even have it in my pocket. But we've all got smartphones, right? What's the first thing you do when you have downtime? Don't answer. It's funny. We took the kids to the corn maze last Friday night. Okay? And it cracked me. And I'm just as bad. I did the exact same thing. So I'm not picking on them. I'm just being honest. We walked through the corn maze for a little while. And then they had this little, like, rope hammock spider web thing that we all laid on. So we're all sitting out there. And I looked up. And here's, like, nine teenagers. Every single one. Take a picture, put that on the gram, go over here. I'm going to do that. And that's what we did. And we sat there, and I looked at them for like 5 minutes. I'm like, really? And then I looked down at my hand. I'm like, oh, wait, there's my phone too. And I'm like, it's impulse. It's habit. You go somewhere and you have to wait. What's the first thing you do? Well, I'm pulling up my phone. I'm going to look at it. You go to the hairdresser. You go see Debbie. Debbie's busy. What do? Well, I'm sitting over there. I'm on my phone. Right? You're standing in line at the grocery store. I've done this. Standing for like 2 minutes because I don't want to read the tabloids that are standing there. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pull up my phone. Yeah. And it just becomes a habit. It becomes a thing where you don't even think about it, and you pull it out, and the next thing you know, this thing, this little device, this little thing that fits in your pocket has control over you. Did you know that there are like diagnosed diseases of like social media anxiety? I forget what it's called, but it basically says that you are so concerned about your social media presence, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat, all of this stuff, that if you can't check it, that if you can't get into it, you literally have panic attacks. You literally like start sweating and like people convulse. They have to be hospital. It's crazy. It is crazy, but it's true. It is the honest to goodness truth. Because that's what, as a society, we have done. We've given up control of our mind to a little device in our pocket. We've given up what we think about, being able to control what we focus our thoughts on, to this little thing in our pocket. And here God says, look, we have to develop self-control, not iPhone control. We have to develop this in our life to where we can set this down. It's no different than the basket of chips. It is no different than that basket of chips. And yet we don't want to do it because we all like it. And we've got to a point as a culture that we don't even like to talk to people anymore. I mean, used to. I can remember if you were standing in line, you could talk to the guy next to you. If you want to do, and it didn't have to be anything deep, you know, like, hey, how's it going? No, good, good. How's the weather? Good. And it's just surface stuff like that. It didn't really matter. You were just talking because you were standing there. Now, if you talk to somebody, you're the weirdo. I mean, really. I mean, it's true. Somebody talks to me in line, I'm looking at them like, what do you want? I ain't giving you no money. Okay? Because that's the only people that come up and talk to people are bums looking for money. Am I wrong? When's the last time you went up to somebody in Walmart and just struck up a conversation? Doesn't happen. Does not happen. We have lost so much control of our time and our focus that it has become weird to talk to people. That's a sad statement. It really is. How do we get to that point? We lose control of our flesh. We love God. We come in here every Sunday, every Friday, every Tuesday, however many times a week you come to church, you come in here and you praise God. And I have no doubt in my mind that we all love God, that we all love Jesus, that we all love Him with everything that's within us. If I ask you, do you love Jesus? You're going to say yes and mean it wholeheartedly. But we don't control our flesh, and our flesh holds us back. Our flesh limits us. As Paul said in Corinthians, he said at the end of that verse, he says, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. I heard this story. Everybody knows who D.L. Moody is? D.L. Moody is this famous preacher back years ago. Well, D.L. Moody, his hero was Charles Spurgeon. Okay? Now, he thought Charles Spurgeon was the bee's knees. Okay? It's probably about the same time frame that phrase was popular. But He thought he was it. And at this time, Spurgeon lived in England. So Moody traveled to England to go meet his hero. Okay? It's the preacher that he looked up to. He didn't idolize him. He was just the preacher that he looked up to. He was his role model, if you will. So he goes and he walks up to Spurgeon's house. Now, again, this is a completely different society because we don't do this now either. He walks up to the house unannounced and knocks on the door. All right, now nobody does that anymore. Yeah, all right. But so he knocks on the door. Well, story goes that Spurgeon opened the door with a cigar hanging out of his mouth. He was standing there smoking a cigar. And I'm not going to say cigar. I'm not saying cigar is right. I'm just saying that's how he opened the door. Moody was so taken aback. He was, how can you, as a man of God, stand there and do that? How can you represent God like that? And Spurgeon, who, if you know anything about Spurgeon, he wasn't one to mince words either, stepped down to where he was level with Moody, poked him in the stomach, said, the same way you can do that. Because Moody was a... And so it was one of the... It was, how do we... That right there. It's our witness. If we can't control ourselves, how can we teach somebody else that, how can we preach to somebody and say, look, you have to line your body, you have to line your life up, you have to line it up with the Word of God if you're not working on it yourself. Because nobody's perfect. I don't want anybody in here to think they're perfect. I'm not picking on anybody or anything like that. It's a process. But if we don't work on developing that self-control, if we don't work on developing that fruit in our lives, we ruin our witness. We ruin our witness. If you have an anger problem and you spout off at the mouth all the time, how is anybody going to believe that you've got anybody to love in your life? That you actually care about them? No, they're not. They're not, because all you do is yell and scream at people. If you can't control your mouth, if you can't control your emotions, if you can't control what you do. And again, this isn't on God to control you. This is on you to control yourself. And so, going on, I'm going to get off the weight thing for a minute. I started looking up, what did Jesus say about self-control? And I learned a couple things. He spoke about it a few times. But in Matthew chapter 16, and again in Mark chapter 8, they say the same thing. It says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you desire to keep your life, and what he's talking about here is this life, this earthly life, if everything around you must be comfortable. It's not saying that you should commit suicide. That's not what it's saying. But if you're desiring just everything around you just to constantly be comfortable and to appease your flesh, if you're not willing to give up anything for Christ, if you're not willing to make a sacrifice in your life, what good are you? What does that do to your witness? What does that do to your walk with God? It says that you loot, that you won't gain your heavenly life. Also in Matthew, and I didn't know Jesus said this twice, actually. But in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said the same statement twice. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, to cut it off. Now, I knew he said it once. I didn't know he said it twice. Now, you think about it. Something important enough for Jesus to say twice. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. And if your hand offends you, chop it off. Okay? I've got an axe out. No, I'm kidding. All right? No, it's not a literal thing. Jesus isn't telling us to mutilate our bodies. He's not telling us to pop out our eyeballs, although I did meet a guy in jail who thought that was true. Yeah, I think Bubba was in there that night. The guy only had one eye, and yeah, he did. And so he's sitting there. We're sitting there in jail, and the guy had to go out and take his meds, and he was coming back. And the guys were like, he did that to himself. And I didn't, like, they said it, but it didn't register. Like, I'm like, surely they didn't say that. No. Come to find out, after talking to the guy, he had taken that verse so literally that he bit off his finger and popped his eye out. Now, the guy was, yes, we tried to minister him as best we could, but, you know, he, yeah. But that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying is that if you have a weakness somewhere, get rid of it. Okay? It's saying that if you have something, if something you're looking at is causing you to sin, get rid of it. Okay? So if you're staying up at 2 o'clock in the morning, guys, and looking at stuff on the computer, get rid of your computer. Turn off your cell phone. Give your cell phone to your wife or your mother. Okay? Well, for the single guys. Because nobody wants to go ask their mom for their phone for that. You know, no. It's one of those. If you've got problems with that, get rid of it. Cut it out of your life. I know we tell the guys at the jail, and I know this is deep. I know this is deep, okay? If you have a problem with drinking, don't go to the bar, okay? Now, that's super deep, right? Yeah, you know, it's so simple that we overlook it. But it said, no, you can't, all right? If you have a problem with food, maybe Asiana is not the place to go eat, okay? I'm just saying, maybe the buffet, not the best place for you. All right? If you have a problem with sweets, stay off the cookie aisle. Okay? And that's me. I mean, I love sweet stuff. All right? I love cookies. I love brownies. Ice cream? Sue loves ice cream more than I do, though. I blame it on her. But I don't want to tell you how much ice cream I bought over the summer. It was, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, holy cow, how much ice cream did I eat? How much did I buy? How much did I go? Because that had a control over me. So what do? We stop buying ice cream. I don't keep sweet stuff around me. I don't keep food in my office at work. I don't. Because I know me. If I went and bought a bag of the little fun size candy bars, you know, the little, you know, Snickers and, you know, the little bite size ones, right? You know, because just one, that's not bad, right? If I bought a bag of those, and I'm just being honest, set that in my office, I would be surprised if it lasted 2 days. And not out of anything of me just being, you know, like I just have to eat all this chocolate, because it's because I just absentmindedly do it. I don't think about it. I'm there working. I get a Snickers bar. I get a candy bar. I get something. So I don't keep that stuff in my office. I don't keep it around me. If it causes you offense, cut it off. Learn yourself. Everybody has different triggers. Everybody has different things that they focus on. You may not have a problem with candy bars, okay? You may not have a problem with that, but you have a problem with something else. How many Starbucks a day do you buy? A week. How many energy drinks? How many of all of this stuff? And it's one of those things. You hear people say, I can't function in the morning without a cup of coffee. Really? Sorry if that was too close to home. I mean, really? Really, really? You can't function without a drug. Because that's all caffeine is a drug. You can't function without that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't drink coffee. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying coffee's of the devil. But I'm saying if you don't have enough control over your flesh to make yourself get up and go, that's just one of those things. And then we come to our emotions. No, don't go to our emotions. Penny said, I can't talk about emotions. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with emotions. And that's, yeah, that was bad. But I love the fact, you know, it's a good thing that we have them. I hate the way emotions make me feel sometimes. I hate the way that it gets you off kilter. Because all it takes is for one thought to get in your mind and you start to dwell on that. You start thinking about it. And you're like, oh, wait. No, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't do this. I'm a failure. I do all this stuff. And it starts digging in. And then your emotions get all out of whack. And then the next thing you know, they're controlling you. They control every interaction that you have. Everybody that you talk to, everybody that talks to you gets filtered through that emotion. If you're insecure, it's going to get filtered through that insecurity. I promise you that it will. And it doesn't matter. Somebody could stand up here and brag about you, and you wouldn't hear it. You would not hear it. You would hear, well, you know, they're just saying that because they think I want to hear it. Okay. That's your problem. That is your problem. It is your choice to allow your emotions to control you. It's your choice to be offended. It's your choice to be happy or sad. Now, you can have a sad thought. It's your choice what you do with it. It is your choice what you do with that thought. Do you dwell on it? Do you just sit around and think about, oh, poor, pitiful me? Woe is me. Woe. No. You cast that down. The Bible says to bring every thought captive. Every single thought. You bring it captive and you check to see, does this thought line up with the Word of God or doesn't it? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Just having a thought isn't the bad thing. All right? Just because you have a thought flutter through your mind, okay? Now that doesn't mean that God or the devil, either one's talking to you. You just could have had a wild thought. You could have ate too much pizza last night. All right? You got this wild thought going through. It's what you do with it. It is what you do with that thought that determines whether or not that thought has control over you or not. Now, God's already given us authority, right? Jesus gave us authority. He told us, God told Adam in the garden to take dominion and over all the earth. Jesus told us that he gave us all power and all authority. He gave us authority over this stuff. And if we don't take it, if we don't exercise it, that stuff is going to have authority over us. I don't like the idea of being controlled by something like that. Okay? I don't like the idea of something like that manipulating me. I can't stand it. So what do? Well, we have to watch and we have to pay attention to how we're thinking and the thoughts that are coming through our lives and the things that are coming in and how we're responding to those. And if we don't have a foundation in the Bible, we need to get one. Because how can we compare what we're thinking to the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God? I mean, really. It's like, okay, I've got this thought, and I know it's in here, so I don't know. That's too many pages. I can't find it. No, we need to get in there and get that rooted in our brain. It's the same thing with, that's why it's important to come to church. Why? Because somebody stands up here and tells you what the Bible says. You get it in your ears, you get it in your mind, you start thinking about it. That's why it's important through the week to listen to the Word, to read the Word, to pray to God, to do all of these things. If you're not listening to the Word of God throughout the week, if you're not listening to somebody teach you, you're wasting your time. You can binge watch all you want on Netflix, and when it comes up, all you're going to think about is the last episode of The Office or whatever it is that you were watching. Okay? That's all that's going to pop into your head. But if you spend your time listening to the Word of God, you get up in the morning. I get up in the morning and I turn on a preaching. I turn on something. Something. YouTube is wonderful for this. Okay? Rick Renner has one every single morning. Every morning throughout the week, he's got 30 minutes. Every morning. Every single morning. Not to mention all the back catalog. If you don't want to listen to that one, you can find another one. You start pulling this stuff up. It's not like it used to be where you had to borrow a CD or get a copy of a tape or something like that, and then you had to keep up with it. No, it's right there. You know that little device that controls us that's in your pocket? You can pull it up on that. Okay? And you can turn it on, and when you're getting ready in the morning, you can listen to it. Okay? I get up, I turn it on when I'm in the shower. I listen to it. I listen to it. I listen to it. I go to the gym. I put it in my headphones. I listen to it. Why? Because it gets down on the inside of me and it helps me control my thoughts. It helps me exhibit control over my body. It helps me do that because when those thoughts come and when those impulses come, I can line it up. Okay, is this in the Word of God or isn't it? Did I read this? Did somebody tell me this? Did that line up? It's part of that discipline. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. There's some days I don't want to listen to Rick Renner or anybody for that matter. I'd rather listen to somebody else. I'd rather listen to, you know, some, I don't know. I'd rather learn how to talk to a giraffe on YouTube. I don't know. There's everything on YouTube. That's the danger of YouTube. There's everything on there. All right? But there are some times where it's like, I don't want to listen to that, but I make myself do it. Why? Because if I get in the habit of listening to something else, if I get in the habit of letting my flesh determine what it is that I feed it, right? It's like, go back to food. Okay, we all know that broccoli and kale and all that mess is good for us, right? So we make ourselves eat it, right? At least I do. I mean, I make myself eat it because I know it's good for me, right? I would rather eat chicken nuggets and french fries. I would rather eat wings. I would rather eat mashed potatoes and gravy. I would rather eat all of this stuff. And I'm not perfect at it. I know Aaron will tell you I'm not perfect, all right, when it comes to this. But we have to exercise that control. We have to make ourselves. And if we understand that when it comes to the natural things, why can't we understand these things when it comes to the spiritual things? It's the same idea. It's the exact same principle. Do we control our lives or does something else control us? All right? So, going on, we have to, I got ahead of my notes here, sorry about that. But we have to control how we think and what we do in every day, every single day. Guys, this is not a simple thing. It's not an easy thing. It's easy for me to stand up here and say this, but it's something we have to walk out every single day. And that's what I found. You know, I got up here and I said, this is something that I've been working on in myself. I've been working on it. I'm not always succeeding, but I'm working on it. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And to not get discouraged when you stumble. Because let's face it, you've had 20, 30, 40, 50, where's Jerry? 50 years? Jerry just turned 50. to develop all of these habits, all of these ways to not control your flesh. So it would stand to reason that it would take a little bit of time to get your flesh under control. It would stand to reason that it may take a little bit, that it's not just going to be like a light switch. But guys, we have to focus on that. And we have to realize, okay, look, if I've got a problem here, I need to cut that off. If I got a problem gossiping, I need to stop hanging out with gossips. If I got a problem with alcohol, don't go to the bar. If you got a problem with food, don't go to the buffet. If you got a problem with drugs, don't go to the crack house. Okay? It's that simple. Okay? It is that simple. All right? Just cut it out of your life. Cut it out. But you're like, well, that's my family that you're... Well, you know, sorry. But God told you to control you, not you to control somebody else. Not you to control somebody. He said, you control you. You discipline your flesh so that your witness is secure, so that when you speak, you're not disqualified. All right? Boy, this is a fun message to preach. Let me tell you. So the whole time I was preparing, I'm like, God, you don't want me to talk about this. You don't know, please. Because what my personality, I tend to be more Phineas than John. So you guys know who Phineas was? Phineas was one of my favorite people in the Old Testament because when God was about to curse the nation of Israel, he was about to curse the Hebrews when they were coming out of Egypt because they were committing sin. What did Phineas do? Phineas went through and he grabbed a spear and ran two of them through and God stopped the curse because of him. They were sleeping with women they shouldn't have been and he went and ran them through. I'm like, let's just deal with it head on. All right, let's just do it. All right, Aaron tells me I'm way too literal sometimes, but you know, that's kind of the way my brain works. And then you've got John over here. Let's just love you into this. Okay, I'm not that guy. I am not that guy. But I say this in love, and I hope this is encouraging. I hope this is at least opened your eyes, because it's something that we need to develop as a body, as a because if we don't, we're opening ourselves up to, you know, we can talk about it in the natural. You're opening yourselves up into disease and all this other stuff, or even in the spiritual. If you're not disciplined enough to actually study and to actually spend time with God, how do you fight? What do you fight with? I've never understood that. If I'm going into a fight, I want everything that I can take with me. You know, I want to take everything. It's that Boy Scout in me. I take everything with me everywhere. Aaron laughs at me because I'm not going to tell you how much stuff I have in my pockets. Okay? I could take apart your car. All right? It's that I carry around multi-tool. Yeah, all this stuff. Why? Because I want to be prepared. It's the same thing with the spiritual. I want to be disciplined enough to where I have the tools with me that I need when I need them. And if I don't discipline my flesh enough to actually say, okay, look, you can sit down and you can watch Netflix for 3 hours, or you can read your Bible. And I'm not even saying read your Bible for 3 hours. Let's start small. Let's start with 10 minutes. Just 10. That's not long. That's not long. You can hit pause for 10 minutes. Your TV probably won't even turn off. Okay? You can sit there and you can read for 10 minutes every day. How hard is that? How hard is that? It's not very hard. I started, and I'm going to say this, and those of you who are involved in this, I'm not picking on you. I'm just using this as an example. Back at the beginning of the year, I started a year-long Bible plan on the Bible app. It's, you know, on that little device that controls you. Okay? And so I had invited a bunch of people to do it with me. Okay? There's like 15 people, I think, signed up on this little plan. And so I can see who's done what, which is accountability for me, because they can see it too. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to make sure that I'm setting an example. So I have to do it. So I got to looking the other day, and out of the 12, 15 people, I think, that are on it, we started January 2nd, so we're almost done. I think there's 3 of us that are up to date. The next closest one is 3 months behind. The next closest one is 4 or 5 months behind. And guys, when I say it's a year-long Bible reading plan, it asks you to read 2, maybe 3 chapters a day. 2 or 3. It takes me all of 10, 15 minutes to do it, if that long. Some days it's real easy. Now, when I was in Ezekiel, I don't know what it was about Ezekiel, but Ezekiel drove me crazy. But you read it every single day. And I'm not going to stand here and say I've read it every single day. There's some days I missed, but I went back. All right, I went back. Because we have to discipline ourselves. Now, for me, that's a tool to discipline my flesh. That's a tool. I can use that little reminder that pops up on my phone that says, hey, have you read your Bible today? And I say, wait a minute, I haven't read my Bible today. Let me read my Bible. And if I don't know, if I'm not studying anything in particular, hey, look, there's 3 chapters right there that I can read that will bless me, that will get something down on the inside of me, that will put something in that I can use later on. Guys, you get up and you listen to preaching every day, and just talking about my life, there are times where I'm listening to whoever it is that's preaching, being it Kenneth Hagin or Rick Renner, whoever it is that I'm listening to, and I'm like, why do I need this? You have said this already. Why are you doing this? Why are we going through this again? Why are we doing this again? You've already said this. Let's move on. And that's just the way my brain works. Okay? I'm like, you said this once. I heard you the first time. Let's move on. But you listen to some of these preachers and they go over and over and over and over again. And it's an exercise in self-discipline to sit there and listen to it for me. Okay? But what I have found is, even though I think I've heard it, even though that I think I heard it the first time or the second time or the fifth time, that it keeps getting in there. And then one day, usually not too much longer down the road, something pops up and I'm like, oh, wait, that's what so-and-so was talking about. But if I hadn't disciplined myself to spend that time, 30 minutes in the morning,
30 minutes on the way home from work, or whenever. How much time do we spend in our cars, guys? I don't know about you, but I drive. It takes me 20 minutes to get to work and 20 minutes to get home. That's 40 minutes right there of doing nothing but this, and I can play preaching. I can play the Word of God. I can discipline my flesh, or I can listen to the radio and not profit me one bit. It's discipline. It's control. Do you control your flesh or does it control you? Because we all know we should do these things. But if we're not doing them, that means something else is controlling us. All right? So how do we get through this real quick? I did want to touch on this real quick. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask Him to show you. Say, spend time. Say, go home and pray and say, Holy Spirit, show me the areas where I'm lacking. Show me the areas that I need help in, that I need to cut some, that I need to cut that hand off or pluck that eye out, or this area that I need help in. You show me where that can, where I'm lacking self-control. And the Holy Spirit will help you do it. He won't do it for you, but He will help you. That's why He's called the Helper. Okay? He is there. We just have to put forth that effort, and we have to realize that, hey, it may not be easy. It may not be simple, but we're going to do it anyway. All right. So you ask Him to do it. You look at your life. You know your triggers. You know the things that you have issues with. All right. I don't buy the big pack of Oreos. Okay. I don't do it because if I do, and I'm just being honest, I will do a line. Okay. I will do a line. Okay. And I'm not talking about cocaine. I'm talking about the line of Oreos. Okay. There's three lines in a pack. Okay. So, and again, I don't do it intentionally. I don't go get a plate and put all those Oreos on one plate. No, I sit there in front of the TV with the bag and just absentmindedly. So what do? I don't buy the Oreos. Okay? I just don't buy them. All right? So what are your other triggers? Do you have problems with social media? Leave your phone at home. Do you have problems with whatever? Do what you have to get that out of your life. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit tells you. All right. I know this has been, you know, hopefully practical for you guys this evening. So, but all right. Well, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll be dismissed. All right. Father, we thank you for this time to come together and learn about you. Father, we thank you that you have given us self-control. That's one of the fruits of your Spirit, that when you come in, you want us to develop that. Father, I ask you to show each and every person in here the areas of our lives where we need to work on that, the areas where we need to develop and to grow. And Father, I thank you that you're helping us do that, Father, that you're not hanging us out to dry, that you're there with us and you're going through it. Father, I thank you for all of the people here tonight. I ask you to bless them, encourage them. I thank you for a safe trip home for them. In Jesus' name, amen.